offering my most humble pranams at the lotus feet of beloved Swami. Sweet Lord, revered elders, and dear brothers and sisters, Sai Ram. Yaadon ki baarat nikli hai aaj dil ke dwaare. The bridal procession of memories is parading before the gates of my heart. Sapno ki shehnai bite dino ko pukare. The melodious music, the divine melodious music beckons the years gone by. As I stand before you today to share my experiences, my mind goes down memory lane to the year 1978. At that time, I was a typical teenager growing up in a metropolitan city, Bombay. I was typically what every teenager should have been, but doing everything that a teenager should not. My whole family, my parents, my two brothers were devotees, and I was the black sheep of the family who decided to not join the group. Much to the pleas and requests from my mother, I would joke and I would say, walk up to the wall and see Swami's picture on the wall, turn it facing the wall, and tell my mom, if Swami is God, let him turn himself around, then I'll believe. Years later, when I became a devotee, or actually that very year, and I joined Swami's college, the first thing my mom approached me and said, Swami didn't turn his picture around, but she certainly turned you around. I still remember the first time I had Swami's darshan. I was accompanying a friend to Vrindavan, and not at all interested in Swami, just being big brother to this guy. And as we sat darshan, Swami passed by, and perhaps when he looked at me, some change happened. I'm not quite sure, but my elder brother, who spent a great deal of time at that time with Swami in the darshan, he took it upon himself to take an application form from the college, Vrindavan College. He filled it all out, forged my signature, and applied to the college. And one fine day in June, it was a Thursday, I remember, I was getting ready to go to college because I had finished my first year BCom and I was going to join the second year. And suddenly this telegram comes from Vrindavan principal saying, come immediately for your interview. I don't know what happened, but that day as I read the telegram, it's like another server took over me. A divine server took over me because I was not myself anymore. I felt some emotion coming up and I cried, but I decided I wanted to go and join Swami's college. So I had not even reserved my tickets. I just wanted to sit in the unreserved compartment and leave. I had no white clothes, so I rushed down and bought some two white kurta pajamas. I had long hair, and a neighbor told us that you're not supposed to have long hair, so I dumped a whack load of coconut oil into my head and flattened it out. And my dad was putting on his tie, and I said, Dad, I'm going. He didn't look at me, he said, where? Swami's college. Okay, good. Finished tying, and he left for college. Neither did he nor I knew that I was going to be gone for 12 years. So it began that for 6 years I was in Vrindavan, and for 6 years I was in Prashantinilayam. And during those days, Bhagwan filled me with so much love that my cup overflowed. And then came 1990. Circumstances changed, and I had to leave and go back to Bombay. And since 1990 to 2006, it's been a very challenging time. The reason being that in those 12 years in the proximity of Bhagwan, it was like one big angel with wings covering me, protecting me, guiding me, comforting me. And suddenly in 1990, when he let me out into the world, it was a time of loneliness, struggle, soul searching, a feeling of abandonment, confusion, trying to get my bearings. Where was I? And at every step, all those teachings of Swami, when I walked out in the world, it was challenged. It has taken me a good part of 10, 12, 15 years to put together and try to replace the physical touch of Swami, the presence of Swami, with a divine, universal Swami in the form of his teachings. What I did was I had that small box of about 200 pictures of Swami, 200, 250 pictures that I had collected as a student. And sitting in Vancouver, every time I felt lonely, I would open up this box, take out, and as I looked at each of those pictures, memories came flooding in. Not only did they come in flooding, but everything that Swami told me at that time became clearer now. I understood it 12 years, 20 years later, what Swami had told me in Vrindavan or Prashantalayam. So I put together this small little presentation, not to enlighten you, but in sharing with you, remembering it myself. Today, the biggest beneficiary in every time I give a talk, it's me, because I'm again reliving those moments and feeling the joy and thrill. In my search for Swami, the universal Swami, I wanted to rediscover him in a different way, the way he ultimately wants all of us to discover. So I started with this point. I wanted to look across the world and see, where are we as human beings today? And I wanted to determine what the need of the hour was. Today the world has many religious paths. First of all, we are a human being. Now we decide that we want to believe in God or you don't want to believe in God. Okay, we made the good decision that we want to believe in God. And what do we find? 25 different religions. And even another 100 or 25 division subsets in those. So as a human being, it's so confusing. What religion should I follow? Which one of these is correct? Which one will lead me to my true destination? The real big crisis in the human life. Not only that, we have so many different spiritual paths. There are these self-improvement gurus who are saying, no, don't follow any of the religions. This is the path, this kind of meditation or this kind of ascetic life. And those different spiritual paths are also available and confusing us. Go on further. There are lots of other people who say, forget the spiritual path, forget the religions. What is the true interpretation of life? Why were we born? Where do we come from? Where are we going to go? And to join this bandwagon are these new scientists using quantum physics and other things to explain how the mind works and where we came from the atom, and we were chemicals before and we are going to become some gas in the future, I guess. And all those confusions we find today with the world, the wars going on, that the whole of humanity is confused and chaotic. In this chaos, how do we think of God? How do we get our own bearings? Forget trying to see the real path. In this scenario, in the background of this scenario, I try to understand the uniqueness of Swami's message. The beauty of Swami's message was that it was universal. It was one message, irrespective of color, caste, or creed. Doesn't matter. In fact, in this very room, we can see the difference. We represent so many different ethnicities, and yet the message that Swami has to give us applies to all of us equally. Geographic restrictions. all over the world, every single country. This brother Vednarayan was saying in the 80th birthday, there were 183 countries represented in that one birthday celebration. Go on further. It doesn't matter which religion we belong to. Swami said, if you're a Christian, be a better Christian. If you're a Jew, be a better Jew. Don't leave your religion. This is not a cult. Social status. In Vrindavan, in Puttaparthi, in the darshan line, there will be a millionaire sitting right next to a pauper in the same darshan line, waiting for the same darshan from Swami. State of spiritual progress. There'll be a great sage who will be sitting right there in the darshan line, and one of those guys who are doing business outside Prashantalyam and don't quite care for Swami, he's also sitting in the darshan. So it doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual progress, the message from Swami for these people is one. And that message is the prime duty of man between birth and death is to realize his inherent divinity. Everything that our minds can understand or comprehend is subservient to this. Bhagwan has come back to tell us he is God, we are God. Only thing he knows it, we don't know it. And he wants top priority for all of us is to realize our inherent divinity. All of us have, you know, when we see those epitaphs in the tombstone, what do we see? 1928 to 1985 or whatever. So everybody knows their birth date. While nobody knows the year, everybody knows that there's going to be a date at the other end of his tombstone. So these two are fixed. What matters is how we spend the dash in between. Between the birth and the death, the time in between, how are we going to spend it? And this message is our guiding beacon light. The prime duty of man between birth and death is not to earn money, not to raise a family, not to become a grand old grandfather, and then to pop it. It is to realize his own inherent divinity. This fascinated me, and I, from this message, I myself found a great burden relief from my heart, because now I know that that is my one focus. This message is universal. If we were to go up with this message to anybody out there who understands what spirituality is, that person should be able to clearly agree that yes, this is the true method. The uniqueness of Sai's avatar. Swami's message is so beautiful. What about Swami? This avatar, this beautiful form in before us, what is so unique about it? I wanted to rediscover it. I spent 12 years, and when you are next to Swami, it is so easy to get deluded, to take him as a human being. Now that I am stepped out, they say the shadow around the candle is the darkest. So when you step away and you see from far the beautiful glow, now you see the same beauty in a different light. The uniqueness of Sai avatar, first of all, it was thrilling to know that sage Bharadwaj, incidentally my own gotra and lineage, is Bharadwaj also. Swami, as Shiva, gave this boon to sage Bharadwaj, and the story is pretty involved, so I won't cover it here, except to say that I will be born in your lineage as a triple avatar. First, Shiva as Shirdi Baba, Shiva Shakti as Satya Sai Baba, and Shakti as Prema Sai Baba. When he gave this boon, it was like this is the most unique avatar, because in all of known past avatars, nobody's come in triple form. It also shows that the crisis is pretty deep, because one avatar isn't going to solve the problems of the world. And so Swami also put it very beautifully. He was gathering the material in Shirdi Baba's time. In Satya Sai Baba's time, he's giving out the food. And then in Prema Sai Baba's time, he's going to see everybody enjoy the fruits of that. Also, Satya Sai Baba is a Purna avatar, a complete avatar. In Hindu philosophy, the avatar or divinity, when it descends on earth, it descends with different faculties. A complete descent has 16 faculties. Krishna and Satya Sai Baba are supposed to be the divinity born on earth with all 16 faculties. Lord Rama and all the other avatars were amsha avatars or partial avatars. Unlike previous avatars, Satyasai openly declares his divinity. Krishna and Rama both were very confidential about it. They didn't want to tell others exactly and openly declare it, whereas Swami uses the mic lots of times to make it clear through his discourses, through his vahinis, that he is the one that has created all of universe. Unlike previous avatars, Satyasai's greatest weapon is his love. Swami is not using any Sudarshan Chakra, nor bow and arrow, none of the nuclear weapons. He just loves so beautifully that the person cannot help getting transformed. Sai's unique approach to lead mankind by example. Lord Rama did that, but Swami does it multifold. And his life is replete with examples where Swami is actually showing, my life is my message. He declares that and he wants us to follow him. Sai's influence and love encompasses beings on all planes of existence. We think that an avatar is born only for humans. No. Even for animals. And from Swami, it is even the spirits floating around that we can't see. When Swami was a young lad, and from the old mandir to the new mandir, he used to be taken in a procession during Dasara. On occasions, he has asked the devotees, wave your aarti into the sky. The gods are there passing by. And devotees would actually do that. On one Vaikuntha Ekadasi day, Swami had taken devotees to the Chitravati River. And as they were there, Swami said, see, the gods have come to give us prasad. And he stretched his hand out and he picked a beautiful vessel out of thin air, full of delicacies that when he distributed, people could not believe the taste. Swami loves animals so much. And just because there is no satsang and forum for the cat or the dog or the elephant to come up and talk about their experiences, we should not at all undermine that there is a feeling or a spirit in there.